Europe, the European Union, the EU. The Formula One season so far has seen 7 different winners from the EU and beyond. The European Grand Prix in 2012 is once again being hosted by Valencia, España. This grand city, founded as a Roman colony around 138 BC, is known for its Gothic architecture and modern city of arts and sciences. And for the 5th year, also known for its Mediterranean seaside F1 street circuit. Our pilots hit the streets around La Marina Real Juan Carlos I, scrambling to see if one driver will be the first to win a second time. Consistency will be the major component this season, rather than uninteresting dominance. Who will be eating paella after rising to the top step of the podium, and who will be eating crow? This is Desiree, and this is your F1 Weekly European Grand Prix Racecast. Fins ara, listeners.
It's going to be an interesting race tomorrow. It's a bit of a topsy-turvy grid, quite a lot of big names further back. It's a long old race though here, isn't it? And lots can happen.
Not really. No? We're in Valencia. Not a lot happens here in the race.
But do you think it's going to be pretty much the way that it looks today then?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can't overtake round here. You can't overtake round here. You can't overtake round here. And I think if you get it right on the strategy, maybe. But the way the tyres seem to hold on for most people.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. Steve Falb is still in arbitration. This is podcast number 586, June 28th. 2012. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Tio Pepe in celebration of Muy Macho Hombre de España's epic victory.
Bravo, 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 bravo. On today's program, Sebastian Vettel says safety car was a caution for phantom debris. Does Button have masaitis? That podium looked very familiar, reminded me of Canada 2006, I believe, not quite sure. Motorsports Mondial with the King of Karachi. And of course, it's a bulging burrito this week.
Fully loaded.
Fully loaded. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. This weekend, no Formula Uno, but that is another form of motorsports.
Well, we're so full of Valencia right now. Thank goodness there's no Formula Uno, because I'm still excited about Valencia. I continue to watch the highlights on the babe, and you have to admit, this was one hell of a weekend.
Well, you know, we came pretty close to 8 different winner, and it's what a shocking surprise that the first repeat winner is not Sebastian Vettel, it's not a McLaren driver, but Nando, our very own Nando.
Nando,
incredible performance.
Incredible performance from 11th. And in España, in front of his people. I mean, it might as well have been in his front yard in Oviedo, because of the, you could see the audience, the roar. And how, you know what really excited me? Was all the overtaking in this race.
Yes, and you know, this was one of those victories where I can think of only 2 people who could have pulled this off. One used to wear a yellow helmet, and the other one was on the podium with him. And he used to race a red car.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, like, you know, I tell you, it's my friend Captain Bob Neal used to say to me all the time, winning is great in a great car, but winning in a car that has no business winning, that's magic. And that's what we had in Valencia on Sunday.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic. We'll briefly talk about qualifying, because I was stunned. Mark Webber is dropped in Q1. He's P18, P19. pretty shocking stuff where you've got, you know, Vettel's going to be fighting for pole position because that's what he does every race weekend.
Basically.
And Mark Webber is always stuck with the bad luck car.
Well, you know, these things happen. And
is this the number one or number two syndrome?
Well, it's a syndrome of a very good driver going against a great driver. And that's basically what the difference is. It's not much, but enough to do the damage.
And speaking of great drivers, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa don't make it to Q2. Pretty shocking, including Senna, Perez. Kobayashi does make it to Q3. And what was really impressed for me is both Force Indias in the top 10.
Well, were you surprised that drivers like Charles Peak, Naren Karthikeyan, Pedro de la Rosa, and Comrade Petrov were the early victims in Q1? That's
the
usual
standard
suspect.
Procedure.
Yeah, usual suspects.
But of course, Timo Glock was ill this weekend. But I'm surprised they didn't throw in their reserve driver.
You know, Timo Glock, I was kind of surprised that he had this some stomach ailment. It's not like this was the Delhi Grand Prix. Delhi Belly.
No, yes. This was Paella Belly.
Could be. Maybe, you know, the fully loaded burrito didn't go well with his Dachshund intestines or
That's
something
true.
Like that.
That's very, very true. But still, Marisha, no reserve driver, and apparently they just...
I was also very surprised that they did not put somebody else. I don't know what the technicalities and legalities are, but there is no shortage of people willing to write a $300,000 check and jump into a...
Even a Marussia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so big surprise there. Let's talk about Q3, of course. Outstanding, and these, especially the last 2 minutes, because Pastor Maldonado was up there. It was very exciting. Even Jenson Button, for a moment, was in the top four. But boy, as the times and the clock went down, it was pretty surprising. I thought Lewis Hamilton might be able to pull a rabbit out of his hat. But in the end, an unbelievable lap by Sebastian Vettel. I think he was 3/10 faster than the field. The perfect lap. I mean, he really digs deep to get these pole positions. And, of course, this was the hat trick, third pole in Valencia in a row.
Yeah, and also I believe it was number 33 of the career.
Correct.
Which puts him behind only... Like I said, the guy with the yellow helmet and Schumacher at the ripe old age of 25. That's very, very impressive.
It is very impressive.
But, you know, an interesting comment was made a few weeks ago during the telecast, and I think it was by Steve Mache on Speed TV, that Sebastian Vettel is having the career that Lewis Hamilton thought he was going to have, and which is very, very true. But that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes in Formula Uno. Perhaps... Just a suggestion.
But
McLaren should drop Vodafone and get Nabisco as a primary sponsor.
That's a good idea. But you have to admit, though, even though we know Hamilton is wicked fast, has the speed, but you have to have the temperament as well. Even though we saw huge mistakes from Sebastian Vettel in the first couple of years, taking out Jenson Button or his teammate Mark Webber. I mean, we've had a few laughs with Vettel, but he certainly has put it all together, and he's got a very good team around him.
Well, you know, that's one thing, what you're saying is all correct. I remember him crying in the rain in Japan after crashing into Mark Webber. And that's one thing about Lewis Hamilton, you know, but you are what you are in life and in racing. He's been there for several years now. He has lost a championship and won a championship. One would think a guy would learn, but no.
I agree.
But like you said, he's wicked fast, and if they give him a good car, then he'll make a few mistakes and still win the championship. So that's all that matters.
And attitude is everything. And of course, Jenson Button, after qualifying, had a great interview, which, thanks to the BBC, I appreciate their cooperation. And I was really impressed with Fernando Alonso's positive interview. Let's hear from him now.
Hopefully a little bit sad because not reaching Q3. It was a little bit sad for us, but it's the way it was today. And unfortunately, we were not fast enough. But the race is tomorrow. Hopefully we can score some good points, even starting 11th. And we'll see how now the positions are at the very end.
What was the Ferrari lacking out there? You said it wasn't fast enough. Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, I think we were lacking a little bit of top speed again in these long straights, plus we were too tense from pole position. So being that close, you need a little bit of luck as well, because 200ths of the second or something like that can make a completely different thing. So today maybe we were not in the lucky side.
Just such a big difference, contrasting. Very impressive. Fernando starting 11th. Jenson Button is ahead of him, and he's still whimpering. And Nando's saying, you know, we'll get some points. We're going to do the best we can. Machismo, machismo. You got to love it.
Well, we've had this conversation about Nando many times before. When it comes to pure full package, he is the complete. He's in a gift. He came to Ferrari and to McLaren in a very nice Hallmark gift wrapped, you know. You just have open and add water.
That's it.
Yeah, and he performs.
It's like a chia pet.
Yeah, exactly, and he grows. And once in a while, you know, you get a bad chia pet, and that the 2007 crop was not good, but, you know, it had nothing to do with the performance.
That's very, very true. Let's go to race day.
You're
pumped up.
You mentioned Q3. This is very important.
I don't know. You've always got the stats. You're the encyclopedia. You're the king.
No, I mean, I don't know. This is important for me. I don't know if it's been mentioned before. Dario Franchitti's cousin, Paul Di Resta, was 10th on the grid. Almost shy of a second of Vettel's time. Did you know he was Dario Franchitti's teammate?
I heard about that. Yeah. And nice, you know, there's another Franchitti.
Marino.
Yeah, he does a little design action. Yeah. What a big, happy family, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, both Force Indias showing some good pace. And for a minute there, Di Resta said that he made some mistakes or he would have been in the top four.
You know what I was thinking today? Who would be a good driver for Ferrari next year? Romain Grosjean.
You're right.
I mean, the guy is doing very good. And I feel
phenomenal.
And I feel the same way about, in terms of talent and based on what they have done, you know, like they say, investment, previous year's results do not guarantee similar results. But you get an idea in motor racing. Nico Hülkenberg is as talented as this kid. Maybe more, maybe a little bit less. I don't know. But he is no German Yuji Ide. So now that Romain Grosjean is doing good, I'm happy. And I want to see Hülkenberg do all the same thing.
No, I agree. And I think as the Force India gets good pace, it's got a good engine package, we should see both Di Resta and Hülkenberg fighting for the top five, perhaps. But the problem is, Fernando's there, Hamilton is there, Grosjean's there, Kimi Raikkonen's there, Michael Schumacher's there. Sort of a tough... They're now... Because Force India has made such good progress, but now they're at that area where it's really hard to break through the top five.
Yeah.
It's serious business.
Yeah, and also just let me give a little mano a mano collie comparison so far this season before we go to the race day to show who took the low blows. Button, Massa, Petrov, and Karthikeyan are the only drivers who are 0-8 against their teammates in qualifying, which is pretty sad. But bodes well for their teammate. Shumi has out-qualified Pretty Boy Floyd 3 times, so there is still some life in this gentleman. Raikkonen, the other returning, has been faster than Grosjean on 2 occasions, which speaks very well for Grosjean. Bruno Senna has done the same against Maldonado, and Jean-Eric Wuan has out-qualified Daniel Ricciardo in one race.
Okay, yeah, and I think we've both had some disappointment from the Toro Rosso's, wondering, you know, maybe they should have kept Buemi and Alguersuari. It's hard to say. But the big step, because Verne and Ricciardo both showed promising pace, and both of us would have, I think, expected a little bit more from them.
Yeah, but, you know, it's one of those, it's one of those things, you know. Scott Speed and Liuzzi did a pretty decent job against each other. These two are doing a pretty decent job, and you cannot expect them to win races in a Toro Rosso. But then, you know, it's one of those things, you know, Sebastian Vettel came through the same team.
Exactly, and he did win. Their only win.
Their only win, and how impressive that was.
In the wet.
Yeah, at Monza.
It doesn't get better than that, does it?
Yeah. And it's just, you know, how youngest, that day he was youngest pole winner, race winner, I mean. So it's, like I said, you know, there's a slight difference between good drivers and a great driver. Not much, maybe,
but
enough to get one win so you can get into a mothership.
Exactly. Anyway, let's go to race day. Timo Glock once again sick. There will be only 23 cars participating. We have softs and mediums, no super softs in this race. And it's a beautiful day, by the way.
Oh, I mean, you know, when you look at this track, you see all these cranes and all that, some very old buildings. It's not that impressive, but when they're showing the Mediterraneo, the place is looking very impressive.
And the ships and stuff. It's very, very good looking.
Yeah, and I was thinking, you know, maybe it looks so simple, Joe Blow, you know, kind of like Brooklyn. But if you go there, it might be impressive, just like Brooklyn is when you get there.
I agree. Four Renaults in the top five.
I have to mention that.
Oh, my people!
Here we go again, Renault.
I know, but it gives me something, you know, to shoot for. Anyway, let's talk about the start of the race. Great start for Sebastian Vettel. I was so impressed on how quickly he was outpacing everybody, and his first few, by the second lap, he already had a 4-second jump on Lewis Hamilton.
Yes, and having a 4-second jump on Lewis Hamilton is. Makes it even more special.
Exactly. No, it was a very impressive start. Great start for Romain Grosjean. No accidents. He's really cleaning up his starts. Very aggressive. Almost machismo.
Oh, yeah.
I think Flavio would be impressed.
Yeah.
And would have said, I knew this was going to happen.
A French friend of mine, I was chatting with him on email, and he said the French commentators, which includes Jacques Lafitte, they are really, really waiting and all excited for Romain Grosjean to get on his first pole and his premier victoire.
And it's coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
For a moment, we thought that chance could have come here today in Valencia.
Yeah, le alternateur problème.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the alternateur problème. And they're not French alternators, by the way.
Oh, here we go again.
Here we go again.
So the digital sling and arrow should not be pointed towards Viry Châtillon?
No.
They're going to Bologna?
Magneti Marelli.
Okay.
But anyway, lap five, the team tells Lewis Hamilton, great job, keep up the good work. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do. As Romain Grosjean is all over his ass.
Do we talk like that on this family show?
This is a family show, and I was talking about a long-eared animal.
Oh, okay. So, well, it's election year, so.
Exactly. But very impressive. Of course, Jenson Button, having whined and had a negative attitude, he loses. Let me see. I think he's by lap five, he's in 13th spot. He's going backwards. And I think attitude is everything. And it's weird how last year he was in such a great, chirpy mood. And this year it's completely different.
He's trying to be like Lewis Hamilton last year.
That's what it is.
But, you know, if Jessica Michibata was missing in action, then I can understand that. I'm sure there is some problem there, you know, setup or tire or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah. Daddy is still there in pink shirt. Or did he change the color of his shirt? John Button, that is.
His father?
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen John Button on the tele lately.
Yeah, okay.
So
okay.
That's a very good question. We'll look into that. Lap 12, Kimi Raikkonen is really trying to pass Pastor Maldonado, who's become much more aggressive. He's had a great qualifying. P3 really outpacing Bruno Senna, especially in these last few races. What's going on with Pastor? Do you think he's become machismo?
I think he's uber machismo. You know, he had this reputation when he was in junior Formula, kind of wild. But I'll tell you, I would like to see him make less mistakes and finish more races. But I'm very happy that he has the pace.
I am too.
You know, so, you know, everybody was saying pay driver and all that. And
I agree.
I'm sure we also said stuff
we
like
did.
That. But him to win that race, and it's good to see him.
Absolutely.
And there's a big, and he's doing may not be the best of comparison in terms of experience, but if you look at his performance in Bruno Senna, I mean, you can say that, you know, this guy's, you know, Maldonado is good. I'm not saying Bruno Senna is not good, but you know what I'm trying to say here.
Well, Pastor is making mistakes, but I tell people all the time, if he's quick and he qualifies in P3 at a track like this, those mistakes are going to be tolerated.
Yeah,
Lewis Hamilton made mistakes in the early days.
Yeah, even now.
Vettel made big mistakes in the early days. I'm cutting Pastor Maldonado a little bit of slack because I like his aggression and the attackness, which we don't see enough of from Kimi Raikkonen. I think Kimi Raikkonen in this race was a bit soft when he should have been a little more aggressive. But on the other hand, he was patient and got the passes he needed in the race to finish on the podium.
Yeah, and I will say, in terms of mistakes, Kimi Raikkonen and Jenson Button, they make very few mistakes. That I have to give to these guys.
I agree. They do make very, very few mistakes. Outstanding race. Fernando Alonso passes Pastor Maldonado on lap 13. Lap 14, we finally see some huge amount of pit stops from Kobayashi, Raikkonen, Maldonado, Hulkenberg, Ricciardo, and your friend Pedro de la Rosa from HRT. Fernando Alonso pits on the following lap, comes out just ahead of Kimi Raikkonen. Vettel pits on lap 15, comes out P1 because he had such a good lead, and he takes on the soft tires. And the impressive part is he was ahead of Lewis Hamilton. That was very, very important. Lewis Hamilton does pass Michael Schumacher.
At this stage, did you have an inkling that Nando will win the race?
No, not at all. Are you kidding? I'm thinking Vettel is he's already pitted. He's come back out ahead of Lewis Hamilton. This is his race.
Yeah.
This is not Canada again, where there's going to be bad strategy. Lewis Hamilton will get ahead or leapfrog. No, this is... I thought, even though Lewis Hamilton and even McLaren have said they've gotten through their pit stop problems, they've been practicing a lot. And as they say, just like in American football, they said that they've been watching film. And now they're going all the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's very impressive. McLaren has turned the corner on the pit stops, but there you have it. Lap 20, Bruno Senna touches Kimi Raikkonen as Mark Webber comes out of the pits. Kimi... And Senna seems to get into these predicaments. Kamui Kobayashi touches the back of Senna's car. And basically, Senna once again is in a disaster, where Pastor Maldonado is being machismo.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think, but it was sad to see, because I like Frank Williams, and I want to see both cars finish the race.
Sure.
What can you do? Drive-through penalty for Bruno Senna for the collision. He takes it on lap 25. Fast lap of the race, by the way. Romain Grosjean on lap 25 with a 1:44.4. Danny Ricciardo, he's up in the top 10 for a little while. Takes a late pit stop, and he thinks he's with the big boys.
You know, talking of Daniel Ricciardo, just as a side note, I was chatting with one of the... You know, Daniel Ricciardo raced in Asia. I think it was the Formula BMW Asia series. And this kid I was chatting with, he had also gone to the same series a year or two later. And I asked him how you were able to do so well so quickly. He says, oh, because my team used all the data from Daniel Ricciardo. So I asked him what was the team's impression of Ricciardo. This is in Formula BMW. And they said, oh, they still love him, how good he was. So this guy is good talent.
Yeah, no, and we talked about that at the beginning of the season, and we thought that was a good decision for him to go to Toro Rosso. Lap 28, we have a collision with Heikki Kovalainen and the other Toro Rosso driver, Jean-Éric Vergne.
That was serious Formula 3 Macau program.
Yeah, it was embarrassing. It shouldn't be in Formula 1, but it happened. And because of the debris, we have a safety car now, sir.
Now, why did Jean-Éric Vergne pull that stunt? Was he pissed off or what happened? He made a mistake?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't heard. The Toro Rosso drivers don't do too many interviews after the race. But... Heikki Kovalainen was pretty cool about it.
You know why they don't do a lot of interviews after every race? Because Dr. Marco is ripping them a new one after every Grand Prix.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So as soon as the safety car is deployed, lots of pit stops. Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Romain Grosjean, Kimi Raikkonen, all the big boys. But I was wrong. Huge problem with Lewis Hamilton's stop. The front jack wouldn't release the car. They had to get the second jack, bring the car back up. Complete disaster. Comes out. He's in sixth place. Sebastian Vettel pits under the safety car on lap 29, comes back out. Fernando Alonso is in P3 from P11 on lap 30. Safety car comes in on 33. Fernando Alonso passes Romain Grosjean. Very impressive stuff, you have to admit.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it, you know. To be outside the top 10, you really have no choice then on a street circuit. But just to hang in there, it's just like...
And I was really impressed with a lot of the attacks that Fernando Alonso did at the beginning of the race, because he knew that attacking one by one gets you closer to the front of the spear. Lap 34, guess what? Sebastian Vettel slows. Le alternateur is dead. Fernando's in the lead. Is it shocking? Romain Grosjean's in the lead. Fernando is behind him, I believe. What do your stats say?
My stats say Nando.
Nando!
On his way.
Yes, you're right. Nando did pass Romain Grosjean. And it was great. Nando is in the lead from P11. And the crowd, the roar.
Oh, yeah.
Los Españoles.
Yes.
I mean, they are freaking out.
Yeah.
The San Miguel is flowing. This is a beautiful day. And the Tio Pepe is free.
Yeah. And this race was not live on the American Network.
No, the American Network, I believe it was on Fox instead of Speed.
Later in the day. So what happened, I was watching, I was having some issues, you know, all these F1 Weekly Familia was on the Skype, and I was having, first I got the audio, but no Martin Brundle and other people, but no video. Then I got a audio in Spanish language. I'm not sure if it was Spanish network or
Portuguese.
Mexican TV, but there was a big roar, and there was a lot of excitement, you know, with them. When Nando took the lead, it's just unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. Romain Grosjean did stay close to Nando and really, really got close. And I thought for a minute there that if Nando had any issues, because once these tires drop, Romain, who's showed some good attacking modes, could get around Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, it was just like Sergio Perez over Nando and Sepang.
I agree.
And there's a good chance, you know, if he had not retired, he may have had a chance to pass him.
And everybody in France, I think, thought he had a chance.
And all is due to the tire, you know.
And we had just lost against Spain in the football match, España and Francia. Spain was on a roll, and Romain would have helped us a lot with our morale. But it didn't happen on lap 40. Romain Grosjean slows. Guess what? Le alternateur.
Yep.
So obviously Renault needs to check what's going on there with their vendors. Not good. I'd rather see just a huge kablamo. At least it's drama.
No, then drama, then it's oil and, you know, other
engine parts. And people are just spinning. Yeah. And
I don't like cautions and stuff like that. I want a race to be a race, not a safety car festival.
That's true. And Romain got the car off the track. No safety cars. Everybody was good. Fernando Alonso's tires are really the big question for me. You know, lap 44, what's going on? Can he make it? We've got 13 laps to go, I believe. This is exciting.
Yeah.
And those final laps were exciting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But once Romain Grosjean was out of the picture, I just knew that. I just had a feeling.
You mean it was Nandoism all over?
Nando, unless he ran into some mechanical problem. But it's very impressive. I think he has gone like 20 races scoring, scored points in the last 20. Another four, he will equal Michael Schumacher's, one of Michael Schumacher's many, many records. So this guy knows how to bring a car home. He's, you know, he's like the Niki Lauda, Alain Prost, who, you know, a thinking man's racing driver, who is quick but also smart.
Of course, because Felipe Massa, he gets a puncture, he's fighting with, and it wasn't really his fault, but still, nothing but a disaster for Felipe, and he almost gets lapped in this race, because it almost looks like a Ferrari 1-2. It's Nando at the checkered flag, and there's Felipe Massa.
Yeah.
And it looked good on photo, but unfortunately, the truth was just pretty sad, because he was lap down.
Yeah, and that's the image I have of Massa in a Ferrari and Raikkonen in his first time in Ferrari in Albert Park. They're showing aerial footage, and a car is coming to pass his teammate, and oh, it's Massa going a lap down or something like that.
Yeah,
it's pretty sad for him.
It is sad. So, but Fernando Alonso does a great job with the tires. Unfortunately, Lewis Hamilton, who's in second place, has a problem with his tires. They start falling off. Kimi Raikkonen gets past Lewis Hamilton in a great, great pass. And some people say that he should have attacked quicker, sooner. But in the end, he got around Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton, you could tell his tires were dropping. And then, of course, my favorite moment, everybody's consistent moment with for Pastor Maldonado, because he always saves the fun for the last lap, Nasser.
Yeah, when he has a chance to score quite a few points.
Exactly. But instead of scoring points, he's thinking about the excitement. He's thinking about Chavez. You know, he's thinking about Citgo and the money going into his bank account. Those are a lot of things to think about on the last lap, Nasser.
Yeah, you know, it's just like repeat of Melbourne. He drove a lot of points by chasing Nando crazily, and this time he was... I mean, I give blame to both of them, but I mean, Pastor Maldonado probably could have waited. I know there were not many corners to go, but he could have tried to pass him, you know, in a straight line or something. But, you know, when you're coming back on the track, even though if the other guy had pushed you off, I mean, you have to be careful because, you know, open wheel racing, if you crash into somebody, I mean, this is like not a tin top racing where you can slip and slide. Chances of one of or both going out are very, very high, and we saw the results.
Yeah, and obviously it was very avoidable. He would have gotten around Lewis Hamilton because he saw Lewis Hamilton's rear tires were gone. Yeah. He just had to wait one more moment. But it was the last lap. I guess the adrenaline was flowing, and c'est la vie.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, you also have to look at the big picture, how many points you're going to lose if you make a dumb move.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
I mean, you know, if like Kimi Raikkonen, you know, when he finishes second, oh, I'm not interested if I'm not winning. One can understand for the win. But between third and fourth, or, you know, other places, you know, if you're not in the top three, the spread is not very big, maybe 2-3 points. So those points are very important.
I agree. And the greatest part about Maldonado screwing up was Schumacher finishes third.
Good for him.
A podium for Michael Schumacher.
Yeah.
I thought that was an exciting podium. Congratulations to Nando. Kimi Raikkonen, another great job. But of course, we know Kimi, and the irony of it was Mercedes and Schumacher were celebrating, and Kimi Raikkonen, for him, second, might as well just be last.
No, I mean, this podium, you know, with these three people is like
fantastic.
It's like seeing a podium with Jim Clark, Graham Hill, and Jackie Stewart. You know, it's very, very massive racing talent and achievements.
No, and not only that, but the podium, this was a repeat of previous podiums, because I'd seen the same podium with Nando at Renault, Schumacher at Ferrari, and Kimi Raikkonen at McLaren.
Right.
And we'd seen those three together on the podium so many times in the past. I thought it was wunderbar.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a great race. I was on the edge of my seat. There was so much overtaking in this race. Jenson Button knows nothing about nothing when it comes to Valencia, and I'm sure he felt bad saying what he said after qualifying in the post-race interviews with the Beeb.
But he's going to have some nice fish and chips at the next race, and I think he'll be back in the top five.
I believe you. But still, an outstanding, fantastic Valencia race. I've had to watch it a couple of times just for fun. Of course, terrible for Sebastian Vettel, but still the speed that he showed, because they had a lot of upgrades Red Bull did that came that weekend, and obviously they're paying off. So great news for Michael Schumacher. Kimi Raikkonen, fantastic job. And both Lotuses, Romain Grosjean once again had the alternator failure just like Sebastian Vettel, but still Romain Grosjean, huge potential, and like you said earlier in the show, he could be a great replacement for Felipe Massa. Young, talented, I don't know.
You know, I'll tell you, a talented driver, and that's why I like him. When he was dropped from Renault, okay, he went into AutoGP. Well, I think he won that championship,
yeah,
or won a
right
lot
away.
Of races. And same year he was doing FIA GT1 racing. He was winning there. And he did something else also in which he was also very competitive. So the guy, you know, if you're quick, you're quick. It's simple as that.
Now, what's really astonishing is Mark Webber, who started 19th out of Q1, finishes ahead of Jenson Button in fourth place.
Boy, Jenson is low on your...
He is low on the poll today.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. But still, I mean, can you believe it? Jenson made it to Q3, started P9.
Yeah, you know, it's you have to think of what Robert Kubica once said, that in Formula One, he said being mentally strong is more than 50% of part of, as you know, for winning.
Absolutely. And Nico Hülkenberg, great race for him, finished fifth, outstanding. I was very impressed with that. And his teammate, Paul De Rissa, was seventh. Justin Button, eighth. Perez was ninth. And Pastor Maldonado, because of that stupid mistake, was only able to get 1 point.
But then he got a penalty and he lost.
He got
that
a penalty,
right?
That will be given to him in Silverstone.
But didn't he get a 20-second penalty and he lost a 10-point?
Did he?
Yeah, I believe he did.
Okay. Well, you're the professional. I'm just the host, Nasser. But anyway, that was an outstanding race. I loved it. Now Fernando Alonso has got 100 more points than his teammate.
Yeah, that was.
That's a big statement.
That's pretty sad. That is a very sad story.
It is a very, very sad story. Yeah.
This is actually even worse than Lewis and Heikki Kovalainen at McLaren.
Yes.
At least Heikki got a win.
I agree.
Because of Massa. That's very sad.
Yeah. No, it's a sad state of affairs. But like I said before, Montezemolo will put up with Felipe Massa till the end of the season because of the taut connection.
Well, you know, this is what I like about motor racing, Formula One in particular, when I started following in 73, and it was such a different time and era and the world. You have now, let's just take a look here, Paul Di Resta, right? Did a great job. A couple of years ago, everybody was in love with Kamui Kobayashi, you know? Romain Grosjean was pretty much discarded, you know? Nico Hülkenberg was pretty much discarded. Now, here we have, and I remember saying this before the season started, that this is a chance for Romain Grosjean, that if he can get on top of Kimi Raikkonen in the races and qualifying, then it will bode well for him. And he's now delivering it, which is very impressive. So looks like he has established himself a position in Formula One without bringing a lot of money from whatever country they come from. You know what I'm saying? Paul Di Resta has done the same thing. And I remember, I'm not going to take any names here, making a suggestion to a young, very good racing driver some years ago who was trying to get a seat in GP2 and did not have the funding. And, you know, there were others' ideas. And this is, why don't you go to DTM? And his comment was, DTM is a dead end. And, you know, it can be a dead end. Formula 3 can be a dead end. But if you are really, really good and young and you can make it happen, you have to dominate it, you know, like win like Di Resta did. So I'm very happy that these things are working. And now look at Kamui Kobayashi. Here comes Sergio Perez, who I really thought would not even survive 1 year in Formula One. Again, based on his previous results, I think he lost the British F3 Championship to Jaime Alguersuari, it was, I believe. But he has really worked himself hard, and he's pretty much there. And, you know, there are other people knocking on the door. It will be interesting to see who can make it happen and who will stay on slippery slope. Oh, by the way, talking of slippery slope, Dr. Marcos Machetti is swinging again. There is this young kid from Scotland, very talented. We did an interview with him a few weeks ago, Lewis Williamson, and he was in the Formula Renault 3.5, and this just news came in today that he's been chopped off the Red Bull Young Driver Program.
Yeah, and when you get chopped off, it's not good. Ask Brendan Hartley.
Oh, yeah.
So
Brendan Hartley, again, you know, it's one of those things, when you get on this program, you have to perform. And he did like five or six races in World Series by Renault, did not even score a single point. But Brendan Hartley, you know, he just was not delivering. And when you get into that situation, that's what's going to happen. And the guy they have taken in place of him, Felix da Costa, he's pretty good. He's from Portugal. So let's hope, you know, he can hang in there longer than Lewis Williamson and some other people there. One firing that they did that I did not like was Robert Wickens.
Okay, well, we'll take that up in the Motorsports Mondial segment. Anyway, quickly, I just want to mention, because of Mark Webber's consistency and really making an effort to get some points, He is second in the championship right now with 91 points.
That's the second most surprising thing.
It's stunning.
After Nando leading the championship.
Yeah, absolutely stunning. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a great Motorsports Mondial coming up. So we'll be back after this brief message from Honest Engines.
Honesty is something we all look for, especially when it comes to auto service. Honest Engines Auto Service Tallahassee is where you'll find it. Since 2005, they've been delivering trusted, dependable service to Florida's capital. Honest Engines is your full-service auto repair center. Bumper to bumper, they have you covered. Honest Engines Auto Repair offers a variety of services. Transmission repair, oil change service, and much, much more. Don't let just anyone work on your car. Bring it to Honest Engines. They'll give your baby the care it deserves. They work closely with you to make sure you know what's being done. With Honest Engines, you don't have to guess what their team is doing. Their highly experienced and certified technicians know just what your car needs, and they'll make sure you do too. So if you're in the Tallahassee area and you need auto repairs, give Honest Engines a call. 850-421-8461. And tell them F1Weekly.com sent you. Honest Engines Auto Repair. Right on the corner, right on the price. 718 Gay Street, Tallahassee.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, with the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings, musical regards from Viva España, magical motorsports regards from Valencia. As the man said, una giornata fantastica, an amazing super bravo performance from Nando. And as we discussed, Clark and I, we are not even halfway through the season, and Nando has already scored 100 points more than his teammate. That is very, very pathetic. What say you?
It's got to be rough on Felipe. I mean, the writing is on the wall. Literally.
And this wall is going to come tumbling down pretty soon.
He knows this is his last season.
Yeah. Rob Smedley must be looking for Weber or some other baby next season. This victory was electrifying, and after the race, this was very interesting. I was chatting with our friend, Javier Vicente Garcia, and he was having an Engelbert Humperdinck moment. Blue Spanish eyes, teardrops are falling from your Spanish eyes. So he was very excited, and as we have seen, they're doing very well in football also, so this is great for them. This was victory number 29 for Alonso, and he has now scored points in the last 20 races, only four behind the Red Baron, who was also on the podium. His first since coming back to F1 with the team that wrote a check for his F1 debut in 1991 with Jordan. I'm sure you know Mercedes paid for
most of course, most of yes, the, he was in their sports car program.
Si, senor. At age, but Mercedes and Jordan forgot to book a room for him at Spa, I kid you not. So he had to sleep during the weekend in a youth hostel.
Not in Eddie Jordan's tent?
Oh, no. Eddie Jordan will give you an invoice if you enter his tent. At age 43 years and 172 days, Schumacher is the oldest driver on F1 podium since Jack Brabham in the 1970 British Grand Prix. And in that race, Brabham lost a certain victory when his car ran out of petrol on the final lap. And who was the mechanic on his car that day? Survey says Ron Dennis, the same gentleman who's now boss man at MTG. That's what it's called, right? McLaren Technology, MTC.
Whatever. McLaren, yeah. I thought it was called MIT.
MIT, no, that's in Harvard on the East Coast. It used to, they were going to call it the Paragon, but for whatever reason, they don't call it. Anyway, moving forward, the old Ferrari podium was very interesting. Schumi was phased out to bring Kimi in, and Kimi was brought out to make room for Nando. Both Kimi and Nando won on their debut with Ferrari, and that was very impressive, and so did Nigel Mansell. Schumi won his first race for Ferrari in Spain, which was as impressive as Nando's win on Sunday, but that was in the rain in Barcelona. The 1995 season was the last time that Ferrari did not have one of the podium finishers at Valencia on their team. So there's a very, very strong red connection on this podium on Sunday. Well, speaking from as a racing fan point of view, when I look back at some of the great races from the past five seasons, and some of them we have discussed here before, apart from the last lap snatch of victory over Fisico by Kimi, most of them feature Nando, and that should make you happy. There was Imola over Schumacher in 2005, Japan 2006 was very impressive, and the 2007 European Grand Prix victory over Massa, which is one of my favorites, by the way.
It's one of my favorites, too.
Yeah, and that was, of course, when Nando was in a silver car. Okay. Now, Hamilton, first race of the season where he failed to score any points, so we must give him credit for that. Normally, he has gone five races with three DNFs, so this is not bad considering we have eight races now. May have been taken out by Maldonado, but should have known better. Of all the drivers on the grid, Hamilton and Alonso should know the importance of each and every point in the championship. After all, both learned the hard way as teammates, and the man who came in from the cold to steal the championship from them was Segundo, second in Valencia. I would like to see Kimi get a victory also. It would be nice. Both Raikkonen and Romain Grosjean should win a race sooner or later. Now, this is interesting. Grosjean, a Swiss driver who became a French driver thanks to Bruno Michel, and these are the words of an ex-French Grand Prix winning driver, not mine, had a great day and performance. And like we said before, the slings and arrows may be pointing at Thierry Chatillon, but you say Magnetti Marelli, so we shall find out in a few weeks.
Yes, I haven't seen Marshall or Dussulier.
Marshall, are they still in business or got a...
Sev Marshall. Out by Valeo. And
I love their logo, you know.
Yeah, the cat was great.
Yes, Sev Marshall.
Correct.
Very nice. Maldonado, from the streets of Australia to the streets of Valencia, a lot of points thrown away with a lap or so to go. He is lucky Patrick Head has retired, otherwise he would have ripped him two new ones by now. At least the guy is quick and, like Kobayashi, not shy to get physical. And he doesn't care whether he's running into Schumacher or Hamilton. Hülkenberg, now here's a kid whose career I followed since the Formula BMW days. Best finish in fifth for the young man from Emmerich near the Dutch border. Won Formula BMW and GP2 in first attempt, plus also won F3 Euro Series and blew away everybody in A1 GP Series. But like Grosjean, had to sit on the sidelines for a season. Now making the most and name for himself, it's nice to see talent rewarded. So I hate to see where everybody's coming into Formula 1 because somebody, you know, bought them a seat, which is not good. Weber, the Avis of auto racing, number two, but always trying harder. Impressive to come from behind in a street race and finish fourth. This was his fifth finish in same position this season. And as we just said, second in the championship. What are the chances of, if Sebastian Vettel, who I think will win the championship, if Sebastian Vettel does not win for whatever reason, who do you think will take the championship?
Nando.
I think so, too.
I think so.
Yeah,
It's going to be between those two guys. Unless something happens, Lotus picks up the pace, Mark Webber has a few wins. I mean, the season is still young, but...
Webber will have more wins, I'm sure, and he'll be, you know, in the top five most of the time. But I think what's going to go against him is Sebastian Vettel will take some very important points from him, and Alonso, as cagey as he is, and also very good, I think he may not make a pit stop late in the final race this time.
Yes, no,
or whatever it was.
And not only that, but Nando, consistently, now that he's leading, he just needs to be consistent, stay on those podiums, which he's been doing with fairly ease. So.
Yeah. Maybe he can buy a nice paella and a Tio Pepe for Maldonado next time he crashes into Sebastian Vettel. Button, as we said, having the season of his teammate last year, And, you know, I just hope, because I want to see rivalry between teammates and different drivers. I want to see him do well in the next race. And Mr. Jean-Eric Vergne, you know, blazed through the junior formula to come to Formula One. And what a fine F3 move he made on Heikki Kovalainen. After scoring points in the first two races of the season, Scuderia from Faenza has now gone pointless in the last six races. I wonder if Dr. Marco has sent a LinkedIn request to Jaime Alguersuari or Sebastian Buemi. And finally, on the F1 front, a word or two about Vettel. Started from third consecutive pole, number 33 for the career, and as we said, third only to Schumi and Senna. And I personally will not be surprised if he goes three in a row in the championship this year. But we shall find out by November. Okay, shall we change gears and go into GP2, where there was a great excitement there?
Happy dos,
senor. Great racing action in two races over the weekend. Esteban Gutierrez won the feature race, his second victory in Happy dos, coming at the same track as his first triumph, but this time in feature race. Previously, it was the reverse grid. His teammate, James Cage Rattler Collado, had the race in hand, but paid the price of not pitting with others. And when the safety car came out, his chances were done, blowed up. He would eventually finish ninth. And I sent him I don't know if I broke any, you know, rules and regulation of the Twitter world, but I sent him a message on Twitter. Hey, hola, can we do an interview with you and see what happens? Marcus Ericsson was second and Luis Razia was third. The Brazilian won the sprint race in dramatic fashion. Both these races were great. On the final lap, he was looking good for a podium finish, but then race leader Collado got busy in defending his position from Fabio Laimer, who is from Switzerland, and Senor Razia slipped by both to take a sensational victory. And, you know, a few races ago, he was many points behind this guy, Davide Valsecchi. Now, Luis Razia is only 1 point behind. It's 141 for Valsecchi, 140 to Luis Razia, and Collado is the top rookie with 95 points. Collado is doing a great job. He's teammate to Esteban Gutierrez. Now we go to baby sister of Happy Dos, and that will be Happy Tres, GP3. Mitch Evans, racing under the wings of Mark Webber, won the opening race after leading from start to finish from pole position. So very impressive. This Kiwi is very quick. Aro Vainio of Finlandia, and racing under the lay wings of Nicola Todd, was second. Nicola Todd also has a very talented kid. I think last name is Leclerc, Charles Leclerc. He's from Monaco and he's doing very well. So he's got a train. The Todd train continues. Race 2 saw victory number 1 for Swiss driver Patrick Niederhauser. Daniel Abt of Germania was second, and Theo Alinas of Cyprus was third. Nice to see guys from, you know, you don't hear Cyprus too much in motor racing. Championship, top three are Mitch Evans, 78 points, Aro Vainio, 74, and Daniel Arp, 42 points. There are two American drivers in GP3 this year. Connor Daly is 11th with 23 points, and Ethan Ringel has yet to score. Story is the same with three lady racers, Vicky Pereira of Italy, Carmen Jorda from Spain, and Alice Powell from UK. All nice-looking pretty ladies, but long way to go to become competitive in GP3, which is very tough, you know. British touring cars at Croft. Winners were race 1, Matt Neal in a Honda. Race 2, win number 6 of the season for Gordon Shedden, another Honda driver. And the third race was win number 70 of the career for Jason Plato. He drives MG and celebrates with a PG cup of tea. Have you ever had PG?
I'm not a big tea totaler.
Oh, really?
No.
What are you into? Fine Colombian?
Correct.
Very good. F2 at Spa. German Marcus Palmer was the winner of the first race, and Luciano Bacchetta, who I think is originally from, or the family is from Sicilia, Sicily, but he's a UK national, he won the second race. Apart from the usual suspects, there are drivers in this championship from India, Bulgaria, China, Zimbabwe, and Iran. For this year, no US or Canadian representation, which is pretty sad. Bacchetta leads with 138.5 points over second place Swiss driver Christopher Zanella on 98 points. And you know, if you win this championship, you get a F1 ride with Williams, because Williams builds the cars. British F3 at Brands Hatch, Jack Harvey from Lincolnshire wins two of the three races, and Pipo Durrani from Sao Paulo, Brazil was the winner, other winner of the weekend. Leading the championship is Jasmine Jaffer of Malaysia, which is very impressive. He has 174 points, and there are some very good drivers in this series. Harvey is second with 167 points, and Carlos Sainz Jr. is third on 137 points. And he really continues to impress everybody by his time and, you know, whatever he's doing. He's also doing a few F3 Euro Series races, which, you know, not bad for a rookie in Formula 3. And also doing well is Felix Cerales from Puerto Rico. He's a nice kid. I met him at Olton Park. He is fourth with 124 points and the highest placed non-Carlin driver. Now, more good news for you. WRC from New Zealand. Round 7 saw 5th win of the season for Sebastian Loeb in a Citroën. Teammate Mikko Hirvonen was 2nd and Petter Solberg 3rd in his Ford. Ken Block was 9th in his Monster-sponsored Ford.
Unbelievable, huh? Yeah. I heard that Sebastian Loeb was blindfolded for this race.
Really?
And still won.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
That's very impressive.
It's... I mean, it's going to be 9 consecutive championships. These are records that will never be broken.
Yeah, he should win and then retire, go out on top, you know.
I agree, maybe do Le Mans and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, when Mikko joined this team, I thought maybe, you know, he'll have some competition, but it's business as usual. So good for him, good for Citroën, good for your health also, which is very important to F1 Weekly. Indy cars 2 in a row for Ryan Hunter-Reay and Andretti Autosports. Marco Andretti was 2nd for Team Pepito. Tony Kanaan was 3rd, making it an all-Chevy podium. Scott Dixon, 4th, was the first Honda-powered car. Elio Castroneves, who drives for Penske, led the most laps. And Indy cars will not replace the Cancer Chinese event, which is going to take place in some place called like Qingdao.
Yeah,
starting
I heard
with
that.
A Q. What?
Huh? That's my Mandarin.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, it's... And there, you know, I did not want to see another silly race in some place.
Why don't they just go to
Road America? That's what's so funny about that?
Well, it's not. I thought they would go to Sepang or something.
No, I think they're under some issues with Bernie. No, where they should go? They should go to a place like Donington, Brands Hatch. They've been to Brands Hatch or Zandvoort. Well, people will come. You want to go to places that people will come.
Yeah, I don't know why they want to go to China. Who puts this stuff together?
Well, these people come up with money, you know.
Oh, really?
It's all money, Clark.
Oh, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
And that's what keeps us going, right?
Yeah, with all the zeros, absolutely. We should have, like, you know, the Olympics logo?
The zeros?
Yeah, we should have, like a triple it, you know, like 3 times the zeros. And that should be the F1 Weekly logo.
I'll work on that, Nasser.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir. The least I can do. Okay, looking ahead to this weekend, a lot of good action. World Series by Renault, they will be in action at Nürburgring. Some of the leading men of the series include GP2 veterans Sam Bird and Jules Bianchi, Kevin Magnussen, who recently drove a Formula One McLaren, a few-year-old McLaren, Robin Freins from Netherlands, and Alexander Rossi from Nevada City, Cali, not too far from Sacto and Reno. And we want to wish speedy recovery to Richie Stanaway, who was recently injured, is now recovering back home in New Zealand. And the Brazilian driver Cesar Ramos will keep his seat warm in the meantime. Sebastian Vettel and Robert Kubica both made it to F1 through the series and bypassing GP2. And, you know, over the weekend there was also a Formula Renault NEC North European Countries race. And two of the races were won by Stoffel van Dorn, who drives for Kaufman Racing Team, a good friend from Wolfsfeld, Germania. So congratulations to them. MotoGP, they will be at Assen, the Monza of motorcycle racing. And this is a great track, a huge crowd, a great race. So I'm looking forward to it. And this is where Ben Spies scored his first GP, MotoGP victory. Yeah, fantastic place. F3 Euro Series will be on the streets of Nürburgring in Germania, along with cars and drivers from British F3. So this will be interesting. Grand Am boys and girls will be at the Glen, Watkins Glen, that is, in upstate New York. And NASCAR will be finger-licking good this weekend as they race in Kentucky. As Mr. Presley would say, another day, another town, I go searching for you with rain in my shoes. And I say, from Kentucky rain to California sunshine, we thank you for listening, and das Vedania till we meet again in the motor racing gulag.
Outstanding answer, but I do have a couple of questions.
Now, please proceed.
Now, wasn't there a nationwide series at Road America?
It was a great race, and Danica Patrick was doing very good, was very competitive.
I believe Jacques Villeneuve was involved.
Jacques Villeneuve gave her a little love tap, and she dropped out. And shockingly, I don't know why, she did not become as feisty as she would in IndyCar racing, which really surprised me and kept her composure, which was good to see.
I think
Milka Duna
was texting her.
Yeah, could have. But, you know, Jacques Villeneuve, I don't think he did it purposely, but the excuse he was giving that I went on grass, he couldn't stop the car, nobody's buying, I'm not even buying that. Right. But, you know, she did a very good job. And the race was won by Nelson Piquet Jr.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I watched that race.
Yeah, me too, and I thought it was very exciting to see Piquet doing so well in America.
No, he's been on pole position in some truck races, and he's doing well. And let's see what happens.
I agree. No, I think it's I was very happy for Nelsino. I was happy for Flavio. I was happy for Senior.
Flavio?
Yeah.
Wow.
Flavio.
You normally don't hear Nelson Jr. and Flavio these days.
Well, you know, we still love them all.
Oh, of course. Oh, sure.
But, no, I thought that was exciting. I thought that deserved a mention.
No, absolutely, and I have to say Danica Patrick did a very good job, and she was very competitive.
Very composed, too.
Yeah, which was even more surprising.
She didn't pull an angry Jensen Button or anything like that.
Yeah, but, you know, her fight with the towel fight with Milka Duna is beautiful.
It is beautiful. Thank you very much, Nasser, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up, and I'm going to go ahead and read the 50 words from the forum, and I'll hand you a couple every once in a while when I get tired.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, whatever you say.
You know, this is...
I just follow orders here.
I understand. Okay, I'm going to start off with Kehe Sin. Vettel was running away with, then he wasn't. Then Grosjean was, and then he wasn't. So we're left with Alonso in front of the home crowd, who between that and the semifinals find their cups running over. Meantime, a little further back, Schumacher gets another record, and Hamilton has a dramatic encounter with Maldonado. Whose fault? Depends on who you believe. Ponte 92. Wow, an exciting Valencia. Miguel. That's Dr. Miguel. Alonso Ratfink makes the most of an underperforming car and of his opponent's misfortunes to pull a brilliant win. Kimi gets the job done, but seemed to lack a bit of ambition, and Maldonado sees a wider track where there was none. From Neon Zapper, anyone who dislikes the so-called Pirelli lottery needs only to rewatch. This was an exciting race from beginning to nail-biting end. From Interraptor, it looked like a Ferrari 1-2 for a moment, until one realized Massa was a lap down after spending his race fighting with the Caterhams and the Marussias instead of the Lotus, McLaren, and Red Bulls. In the same region, Frank Tost of Toro Rosso needs to give Jaime and Sebastian a call. Jean-Éric needs a few more years in feeder series to learn how to drive. Take it from Ye.
Yay! Another exciting race. The podium consisted of the three highest paid drivers in history. Between them, they could probably save the Euro. Lap traffic, best race of the year, period. Rat hump, fantastico. Eric for OK, for a track as hated as this one, it put on a great race, as long as you're not a Vettel fan, that is. Ledford. Another classic, predictably unpredictable. Vettel finds 3/10 on Colli. Alonso first to take a second win.
And to finish Ledford's point, Kimi is never happy. Schumi is back on the podium. Hamilton got slam dunked. Looking forward to watching this one again. From Iceman, new rules breathe life into Valencia as we were treated to a gem of a race. I'm officially shocked. By the way, we didn't get 8 from 8 as Alonso won from Raikkonen and Schumacher. And what was Lewis thinking? Roll on, Silverstone. Chemix says an exciting race made with even more exciting by some dodgy French electrics. dodgy French electrics, Nasser? Stopping Vettel, a runaway. So much for no overtaking in Valencia. And apparently Dr. Mark Farrington answered back saying, we think they were actually Italian electrics. Spooky, eh? So there you have it, Dan, from Mayonnaise, our friend Mayonnaise. Good racing, albeit because of the gimmicks of DRS and Kurz and goofy rubber. Who would have thought that this track would produce such results? Weber should give up the fight about MSC's DRS. Had Michael produced a faster sector time, he gets the ding. Maldonado screwed the pooch. TV wanted to blame Lewis Hamilton, but he was on the track. Maldonado left the track. Rookie move. He was going to take Lewis Hamilton anyway. Just the wrong time and the place. Unusual failure for Red Bull and Vettel. Nando deserves the win regardless. He managed his race to perfection and thus was rewarded. Why does Massa still have a Ferrari ride? It's worth paying him off to get rid of him. There are a number of more deserving drivers on the grid. Thanks everyone on the forum. We love you guys. Keep up the good work. Anyway, that's it. If you want to advertise or cross promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@f1weekly.com. Thanks for listening and good night.
Bye bye.